Rise and shine, Atlanta. This is the morning shift, and we will not talk about what happened in Sacramento last night. I am Bo Morgan. They call me Squid Billy. He's the All-American national champion, former Atlanta Falcon. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson, although I have a few thoughts about it. She's the queen of tofu, the first lady of Atlanta baseball, the leader of Allie's Army, Miss Allie Mack, and the best Flavor Flav New York, love of New York impression in the business, Dylon Matthews on the ones and twos.
Also the weirdest waiver.
I know.
Such a strange thing.
It's a pageant girl wave single morning.
It's like he's riding in the back of a Corvette in a parade.
Well, that wave looks confused because you're kind of, that's the arm is moving too much for the pageant wave. See, the arm can't move that much. It's more of a wrist hinge.
I'll get a video of it and put it up on Twitter.
It's terrifying, actually.
Because it's really a shame we're the only ones that get to see it every single
You kind of look
morning.
Like you have a clubbed hand right now with that wave. So maybe don't do that.
I really just started doing it because I did it one time just randomly, and then Bo commented on it, and I said, you know what? I might as well stick with it.
Now
make
it's
this
my
a part
thing.
Of my persona.
I'm a pageant girl.
Now I'm a pageant girly.
Well, how was everyone's night? Did you guys get to iRace or anything? No?
Yeah, we did. It was a fun night.
Yeah?
Fun night. Yeah, it was it's frustrating. Chicago street course. But yeah, man, it was crazy. It was a good race.
Okay. Bo, was it a good race?
Yeah, the Braves lost 10-1 last night.
Uh-oh. You went to that over iRacing.
Yeah, I've got nothing to say to anyone in this room about iRacing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let
me put it this way. There have been promises and threats made to me if I ever dumped anyone in that race.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
One person by one person. And last night, I didn't make it through the second turn.
Yeah.
Well, had the fastest qualifying time of the group. I'm in a points battle for a championship, and I was dumped. I was put out of the race immediately.
You know what's interesting, too, is I've never had a friend like Bo that just doesn't like talking about the issue at hand.
Conflict
you know
avoidant.
What I mean? Yeah, and I'm not going to diagnose this man to his face, but it is interesting because he didn't, after that second turn of the race, didn't say one word for the rest of the night. Not one. And then we kind of got done with things. It's like, Bo, did you go watch the, replay the accident? Yeah, what do you mean say? I'm mad. Yeah. I was like, all right, cool. So yeah, man, it was a rough night. I got into Bo's bumper on turn two, and he went for a little spin, and we all struggled through the night. Let's just put it that way, put it mildly.
Yeah, I lost 20 something points last night on the lead.
Oh,
on the leader. Because I
What'd
was
you
dumped.
Finish last
I was
night?
Dumped in turn two. I finished last. Thank you. Thanks
you finished
for asking.
Last because of the spin out in turn two.
Yes, because after what happens on road courses is when you end up getting dropped, spun into a wall, and you face the wrong way, everyone goes by you. And it's a narrow area, and by the time you turn your car around, you're in last. And look, road courses are rough. All of us on road courses are bad.
Awful.
So when you give up 20 seconds, 30 seconds, you're screwed. It was lost at that point. So, you know, it's what it is. No, I don't talk because I don't talk as a defense mechanism for myself, so I don't say something that I will probably regret and cause more issues. So no, I've got nothing to say. It was somewhat of a fake apology given to me last night, and I had one ally in the league, and now that ally is gone. So now I know when the race is on the line how I'm going to race other people.
Well, they call it an accident for a reason. You know what I mean? I don't know what else to say.
When accidents don't seem so accidental, Allie.
Yeah. You know? Oh, you think I wrecked you on purpose?
It felt that way, yeah.
Wow.
There are no coincidences, right?
Speaking of conspiracy theories.
Seriously. Well, we have a really big show coming up today, so I hope you can mend this battle that's happening between the two of you. In a little bit, we are going to talk about the game that was last night, Braves and A's. I sincerely hope you didn't lose sleep over this one. We'll talk about that coming up at 6:20. But 7 a.m. this morning, we have Jade Cargill, Queen of the Ring from the WWE, coming in. I am so jealous of her arms. I swear. I have tried for years.
Me
just,
too.
Just to get a little definition in my arm, there's nothing, and she's just jacked.
Yeah, she's terrifying. Honestly, I know she could whoop me. There's no doubt about it, man. But that'll be an interesting conversation with her coming in here in studio. And I always love having in studio guests, being able to chop it up. And
yeah,
obviously, big event with Evolution coming up this weekend.
It's going to be huge. But right now, Kirk Cousins, his appearance on quarterback has certainly shook things up. Yesterday, we were talking about how he felt misled by Atlanta. But deeper into the series, Kirk talked about getting hurt in the Saints game and playing through it.
Once I lost my shoulder and my elbow, should I have sat out? Should I have done something different in my rehab? You know, you have all those questions. With the information I had at the time, I made the best decision. But you also know that if you sit down week 10 and take 2 or 3 weeks or more to let it heal, you may never get your job back, you know? I remember reading Drew Brees' book back in 2010 when he first wrote it, how, you know, he made the point that he tried to never let his backup see the field. Even if it was, you know, somebody who was really no threat, he just felt like you should never do that, that Doug Flutie taught him that. And so that was something I always was aware of, that, you know, in this league, if you give someone else the chance, if you want to be Wally Pipp and there's Lou Gehrig behind you, you know, that can happen.
That's so heavy, man.
It's Drew Brees' fault is what I got from that.
Well, that wouldn't be the first time we've been able to blame something in this city on Drew Brees, because he has terrorized this city for quite some time with his play on the field, him and Sean Payton. I'm just so numb with anything that Kirk Cousins says right now. I genuinely like Kirk. Always been polite, nice with his time, you know, dealing with him after all the every post game. Always very classy, nice guy. But I have a hard time believing most anything that comes out of his mouth. Now, I believe him there because he acted like a guy like that. It's hard for me to watch some of the juice he put on throws in Minnesota a week before the Raiders game, and 3 weeks, I believe, after the maybe a month after the Saints injury, and believe that he was 100% injured. I do believe that he hurt his elbow and shoulder in the Saints game. I also believe that it was not 100% an injury. I think there was a lot of mental things going on. He just told you it was mental. He just told you. I think Kirk Cousins, you know, you go back and everybody, when they signed him, everybody was like, oh, Kirk Cousins a choker. He chokes in the playoffs. He doesn't win in big moments. There's a lot of truth to that. I think Kirk Cousins might be too smart for his own good at times and overthink situations. And do I believe that his elbow was hurting him? Yeah, I do. Do I believe that he was healthy to play at times? Yes, I also believe that. But I also think that he was then playing injured and overthinking every single thing. And it compounded every issue that he had, and he ended up Wally Pippen himself.
Yeah, I mean, this has been this whole thing, and this is crazy how much news has kind of been centered around this one part of the documentary that has come out, because obviously everybody was kind of thirsty for more insight into the situation, and you got all the insight you needed, dating back obviously to the end of the Minnesota tenure for Kirk Cousins. And I don't know. This one's been a tough one for me to diagnose, because on one hand, I am such an Atlanta Falcons fan, and I look at it and go, dude, I wish he would have let Penix start and, you know, gotten healthy and, you know, allowed Penix to, you know, come in and try to lead this team to the playoffs and the spot they were in. But as a player and looking at it from Kirk Cousins' perspective, he says he felt misled by the team. I 100% believe that. I mean, that was one of the things we talked about yesterday, is like, you know, he's signing this contract and you know, he felt like it was year to year in Minnesota, and he wanted a long-term solution to the end of his career. And he said all those things in his introductory press conference, and then it made, you know, they kind of made him look like a fool by drafting Michael Penix just to, you know, a month or two later. So it's tough for me, because I'm angry at him about the way the on-field product went, but as a player and a guy who's seen other players go through situations like this, I'm not even mad at him. Mm-hmm. Why would he feel any allegiance back to this franchise and back to this team when they misled everything that they thought, you know, the direction he thought his career was going? Yeah. It's frustrating from multiple angles for me.
I don't blame him at all for how he felt. I don't blame him for playing through it. I think what irritates me the most is the whole, Why I'm on the injury report? Oh, I don't know. It was clerical mistake. Downplayed it and tried to play through what he says was an injury. Says he was healthy and at times looked healthy, but then comes back and just basically, you know, oh, well, I wasn't 100%. And then I can't believe that you're truthful about everything if you don't tell me the truth 100% of the time. Which is it? I do believe he was banged up. I believe at times he felt fine, though.
So who is to blame here in this scenario? Because Kirk clearly was hurt, shouldn't have been in the game. Is it on Kirk for not explaining how hurt he was to Raheem, or is it on Raheem and the staff for not pulling him earlier?
I don't know that there is an amount of blame. I think everybody did what was best for themselves mm-hmm. in this given scenario, and this is how the story ended up. You know what I mean? I think the Raheem and Terry both felt very strongly about Michael Penix, but you don't know that you're going to be able to draft him, so you don't go out and tell your starting quarterback, hey, we're looking at drafting Michael Penix. And obviously Zach Robinson, Colin Kirk, when they're on the clock and they're about to do it, Kirk is out for himself as well.
First off, we get stuck in this cycle of having as sports fans and media, we have to blame someone.
Mm-hmm.
We always somebody has to be for blame or to blame, and it doesn't necessarily. It sometimes there's a perfect storm. Okay, so Kirk, maybe he's banged up against Denver. You knew it was on the injury report. You lose the game. You have a bye week. The Chargers game were some bad decisions. They weren't. You're throwing in a bench route, an out route late. Inside is a bad throw. It's a bad decision to make it because you made a late throw. That's not necessarily on your arm, but Kirk's never really had the arm to throw that ball late. So I don't know if the injury does that. There was just so many things. And to say, well, I would have benched him for the Raiders game. Oh, would you? Well, I'd have benched him before the Vikings game. Oh, would you? Mm-hmm. You'd have benched him and started a rookie going into Minnesota, one of the toughest places to play. Get real.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
I don't know what they were supposed to do. They just signed a guy to a $180 million contract.
That whole thing where they should have benched him earlier is just ridiculous to me.
Revisionist history by fans.
It's mm-hmm. not even part of it. Well, I should have. No, dude. Like you were, like you said, you were not going to bench him going against one of the best teams in the NFL at home and putting Michael Penix in for a first career start.
And to Mike's point, I don't think you could bench him going into the Monday night game with the Raiders. After his arm looked okay against Minnesota.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
His decisions were bad. His arm was fine. And really, it was only one decision, and it was one throw in the first half. The last interception, you're down by two. You're trying to win the game. You're trying to make a play. It's a zero coverage, and maybe the tight end ran the wrong route.
Yeah, I hope we get more time to talk about this because there's a lot to unpack.
Oh, yeah, we're absolutely getting back into that. But if you want to talk about a perfect storm and bad decisions happening, guys, Braves, Athletics, we got to talk about it. I'm an eternal optimist, but this is brutal. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. You've got Mike here, Bo, Allie Mack, and Dylan, and we're going to talk about the Braves in a moment. We'll stall as long as possible on that because just not a great outcome. I'm out of words to say about the Braves at this point, but we had to cut that conversation about Kirk Cousins short a few moments ago. Quarterback 2 was released, and everyone is diving into it. Yesterday, we were talking about how Kirk felt misled by the organization because he felt like it was going to be a longer-term situation in Atlanta versus Minnesota. But then you dive in further into the series, and Kirk is talking about how he knew he was injured and he played through it. And the debate is kind of up in the air now over, is there to blame? Is it Kirk's fault that he was still in those games while he was hurt? Is it on the staff, or is it just a perfect storm?
I tend to think it's kind of a perfect storm, everybody kind of looking out for themselves, which in the NFL, like I said earlier, that's kind of what you have to do. And I'm curious, and I haven't paid much attention to the socials, although I have seen a bunch of articles in every major news outlet that's throwing blame this way or throwing blame that way. I'm not sure how the fans feel. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's some fans that are like, I kind of get it. You know, you never want to let your backup in the game. Like, I understand that. You definitely were misled. But I think there's a number of fans also that are like, you didn't do what's best for the team.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't do what was best for, you know, the guys that were playing around you, and we ended up not going to the playoffs. And for that they hate him. And I hate doing this when we talk about topics, but I'm somewhere in between. Like the fan in me just says, dude, I'm mad about this whole situation. And then the guy who has seen teammates go through contract situations or get cut or, you know, have, you know, backups drafted or whatever else, it's frustrating. And you're just looking out for what's best for your family and trying to do what's best, you know, for the future of your wife and kids and everything else. Mm-hmm. So I will say this much. I don't feel sorry for Kirk Cousins. The guy has made a ton of money and is still making a ton of money. It's just given, you know, given everything he thought he was doing, moving his whole family down here from Minnesota to feel like he was misled. I don't think he's out of pocket, in that line of thinking.
I'm never going to, that's part of the fans' problem is when you know what someone's making and you know that they're guaranteed to make more money than you'll ever even sniff in your life. Most people don't come in contact with people that have made $90 million in their lifetime. So they don't have to. They're not going to feel bad for you. And when you're kind of, I think the biggest thing for a lot of fans is they see Kirk Cousins talk, even in quarterback, he talks a lot about his Christian faith and all those kind of things. And then you feel that he lied to your face. He didn't lie to their face. That's the way the fans feel.
Right.
Because when you look in that camera.
Fans felt misled.
When you look in that camera, cameras, because when you're at a press conference or you're at a scrum, there's always cameras facing you. You're looking people, and I'm dead staring at Allie right now because mm-hmm. she's a member of the media now. And you asked me this question, and I lie to your face. You're representing that fan. You're the mouthpiece for that fan because you're asking the questions that the fan wants to know answered. So the fans feel directly lied to by Kirk Cousins. Whether he was protecting himself when he got on the field or not, that's how the fan felt. And the other part about it is when you say, hey, when you're benched and you say, well, I didn't forget how to play the position. Well, then tell us now you're hurt. Moment to say, look, I tried to protect myself about an injury, but that's not what he did. Mm-hmm. So the fans are going to turn on you. And Mike covered the other part of it about, you know, they feel that they cost the playoffs. The reality is, I think once Kirk Cousins went down, it was going to be a tough ask. Do I think that Michael Penix could beat the Raiders? Yes, but so did a hobbled Kirk Cousins or a mentally banged up or the bad Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
I don't know if Michael Penix is going to beat the Vikings on the road. I just don't. That team was really good last year defensively. Really good.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. And you know, the other thing, too, is that you go back to the comments that he made back, I don't know, a couple months ago when he's like, you know, I thought I was about an 8, and I was really like a 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now I'm finally getting back to where I'm at like a 6 or 7 or an 8. And at the time I'm like, you know, him talking about being hobbled and him talking about getting back, maybe that's, you know, him kind of grasping at straws in terms of, you know, the trade situation or trying to find another starting job and things like that. But now I look at it and, you know, given everything that's happened and given everything, I'm like, I genuinely feel like that's probably what he thought. He thought he was at an 8. And then you start getting after the season and realizing your body is just beat down. And I think that's kind of where he landed on that.
Well, and I saw a tweet from Abe that was saying all the other NFL quarterbacks would have done the exact same thing. They wouldn't have pulled themselves out. So I feel like if you strip away all the pomp and circumstance and the grand stage of the NFL, you look at this on a human level, it's just a very relatable thing that he did to protect himself.
Most of us would have done the same thing that he did.
Exactly.
So that's what kills me when fans say, well, you should have sat for the betterment of the team. Yeah, how many times have you done what's better for your own little team that you work with? You know, we all have teams that we work with. You know, it's an easy thing to sit 1,000 feet above and say this is what you should have done. But Abe needs to check himself too, because I had a real problem with stuff that Abe said yesterday, wholeheartedly just crushing our head coach, because – Raheem has the – if I'm Raheem and I watched the film of the Vikings game, I think the guy's fine. Mm-hmm. I sit next to Dave Archer every week in the broadcast booth, and Arch said that, you know, we're talking, and he's like, that throw that he makes on the sideline to Darnell Mooney against the Vikings is as good of an NFL throw as you'll see. And you have to be filling it to make that throw. And you have to put some touch and some velocity on that throw. So check yourself when you're like, well, Raheem should have known. While all those quarterbacks, according to Abe, would have done the same thing, so would a majority of head coaches, and so would a majority of GMs who just signed that guy to that kind of contract. So, again, it's easy to put ourselves in what Raheem should have done. I go back and feel like probably they were a little bit slow because I think they should have made the change at halftime of the Raiders game. That's when I would have made the change.
Yeah.
That's when it was apparent something was off. But to sit here and just say, well, you should have done this. It's easy to say that. Now, the good thing is the excuse for, you know, the fans and me and Abe and all of us, that's our job, is to sit back and second guess. Mm-hmm. That's what we do. But I think it's a little bit obtuse to say that Raheem should have made these decisions.
I feel like there's going to be a lot of hindsight on the this is going to be a quick pivot because there's going to be a lot of hindsight on the Braves season as well. The A versus the A's last night. Braves lost 10-1 in Sacramento. We can thank Eli White for that one solo shot in the fifth inning, but they just couldn't seem to get it going. Michael Harris, Ronald Acuna, they were not in the lineup. Didier Fuentes gave up 8 runs. Guys, this is not pretty. They have lost 5 straight and 7 of 8. We cannot get to this All-Star break fast enough, in my opinion.
I'm just going to be brutally honest here. We finished iRacing. It was a rough iRace. I turn on the game, and all of a sudden it's 5-0 in the first inning, and I was like, I don't know if I can stomach this.
Yeah.
I don't know how much later I can stay up and watch Didier Fuentes get shelled. It's just it's a tough ask at this point.
You did more than me because I was so angry after iRacing that I was like, I can't.
Oh man, no.
I can't deal with anymore. So I didn't even turn it on.
Really,
his cup was full.
Hope you guys have seen, and I'm talking about, you know, our listeners in the car. Like, hey, Didier Fuentes will not be making any more starts. That's been kind of confirmed by Stent last night after the game. They're probably going to bring up a Colby Allard or a Hurston Waltrip type. You know, the other problem, Alias Acuna was scratched from the lineup due to back soreness, mm-hmm. and now they're going to evaluate him for the next few days if he even participates in the home run derby. Maybe Matt Olson can. I'm putting this out. This hasn't been talked about, but maybe Olson could come in and replace him if that's the case. I'd love to see a Brave in there, and that's pretty much our only 2 chances because Lord knows Ozuna's not going to do it, and he's not on the All-Star team, but he could come in and do it. I actually had different therapy last night. I went and dropped a lot of money on Amazon Prime Day after the race.
Good for you,
but
as you should.
Only on 3 items.
Are you going to tell us?
I mean, I can after the break.
Okay. Well,
I don't want to make us late, Allie. I know you're a timekeeper.
Now he doesn't want to make us late. All right. Well, you tell us those in a moment. Tonight, Bryce Elder is on the mound against Mitch Spence. We'll see how that goes. Coming up in the front page, Georgia Tech has a new athletic director. We'll get into that. And we've got my Allie Mack drop. The countdown is on for the Falcons heading to Germany. So we got to get Germany ready for Bo. We'll do that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift with Mike, Bo, Allie Mack, and Dylan. It is 6:41. We're going to get to front page in a moment. And we are going to prepare Germany for Bo's arrival this fall.
Yes. But first. Yes. I hope that what was going on. Yes.
We need to know, though, Bo, because you said you bought 3 things off Amazon Prime last night for Prime Day. What'd you get?
Well, everybody knows I got it. Not everybody, but most people that have known me from what I do here at the station for years know that I have a golf cart. It was kind of prominent during COVID. When we were doing shows, when I was producing Dukes and Bell, I would take my golf cart to the golf course and hit balls and then come back and, you know, do the show and everything. And everybody knew about it. Well, the golf cart's been out of commission for 2 years. Mm. And a really good friend of mine in my neighborhood has a similar golf cart, and he just changed his batteries to lithium. That's the problem with my golf cart. And if you know anything about golf carts, their batteries are super expensive. So Amazon Prime, you can get regular batteries, right? Like the battery for your car, right? Like a regular lead, acid, okay. Whatever you call it.
A couple hundred?
Yeah. No, like a grand.
No, I'm talking about the regular ones.
Yes, yeah, like a grand. Like you buy, for it takes six. I got a 48 volt, so it takes six of them.
I just make car batteries.
I
just keep going.
I think you're
just
saying the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You just said, you know, anybody that's a regular car battery, like, that's only like $100, $200. Yeah, the one you're talking about is much more expensive.
Well, but for all of those batteries together, it's like $1,000. Like, so. Yeah. So it's expensive. So the lithium battery is on sale on Amazon Prime Day. My buddy Wilson, he's like, hey, man, I just got this battery. It's on sale. I wish I could have got this deal. And I was like, oh, and it comes with some things I need to convert. And I was like, so that's the other three things I bought. So, boom, I'm out of a bunch of money right there.
Jeez.
But guess what? I got a project on Sunday. Everybody knows we're doing the show. Well, not everybody, but if you don't know, we're doing the show Saturday from Murph's. At Cobb Galleria, right? Mm-hmm. So, some of us are going to be off on vacation.
Well deserved.
But you and Dylon Alley are going to be doing the show. So Sunday, I have a project.
Very nice.
If the battery comes in time.
I'm sure. Well, it's Amazon. It will be there.
I don't know. Sometimes they're slow.
Mm. What?
Big products sometimes take a little.
You just got to toggle that Prime tab. Like, make sure it's Prime.
Oh, it's all through Prime. Yeah, okay.
I think you've been... I don't know what the word is, but like nothing about Amazon is slow.
No.
It maybe slower than you expected it, but you know, in terms of what you were dealing with 10, 15 years ago, it's lightning speed. Like I get stuff 3 hours later sometimes from Amazon. It's crazy.
You know, there's this guy that I know, he always tells me everything's relative. Well, it's relative. It's relatively slow for a big piece compared to like, you know, I ordered a teething little thing for pork chop the other day. It came before I got home.
Yeah, there you go.
But I'm ordering a lithium battery. Yeah. Might take a couple of days.
Yeah.
So it's all relative. But yeah, thank you to Amazon Prime.
Man, and they can be sneaky too. When I lived in an apartment complex that was gated after hours, they somehow delivered something. Like, and I was not home at the time, so I didn't open up the gate for them. They like snuck in to deliver my Fire Stick or whatever it was.
Wow.
I was like, this is interesting. But yeah. Good for them. We all know we can get it very fast, so enjoy that Prime Day. we got to talk about another purchase that Georgia Tech has made. Kind of a purchase. Georgia Tech has hired Ryan Alpert as their new athletic director. He earned a reputation as one of the country's top fundraisers with his athletic director and chief revenue officer role over at Tennessee.
Yeah, that's exactly like when I was reading about Alpert, I was like, and this is exactly the kind of guy that Georgia Tech needs. Now, it's not that that's one of the I think people do not realize how big of a deal it is for the AD to be able to help raise money and fundraise. I mean, I think it's one of your primary jobs, along with hiring coaches and you know, people to work in the department. You need to be able to raise money to help fund these programs. And right now it's more important than ever with NIL. So this looks like a very promising hire. This guy is very well respected because of his roles that he's had at other places along with Tennessee.
Yeah, and I think, look, no matter what you think about Tennessee, you have to realize that Tennessee has been good in all sports. It feels like over the last couple of years, the all SEC sports championship has been in Tennessee for a few years now. Obviously, you know, when it comes to Director's Cup, their highest finish came just a couple of years ago. They've also, like you talked about, they've raised a ton of money at Tennessee. And so, Georgia Tech is a unique place in terms of the needs that you have from the front office and from people that are, you know, going to bring money in. But it feels like a step in the right direction. We won't know. I mean, you never know how an AD is going to pan out until they're put in that situation, unless you go hire some superstar from another school. But when a guy is being promoted into that situation, you kind of have to learn on the job, and we'll find out very soon how good he's going to be as Georgia Tech's AD.
Yeah, he's helped grow the Neyland Entertainment District. He's helped with obviously some capital projects, but also he's helped broker some of the apparel deal that they have with Nike. That was his thing, and he's worked at some other places like Missouri and Florida Atlantic and even Memphis. But this looks like on paper a good hire. What I hope he does is brings in someone that he trusts to help him with the decisions that he's not as experienced with.
Well, moving on to Scott Frost. He is back as coach at UCF and apparently is a lot happier in his role now after his time with Nebraska.
Dude, you talk about, I don't know, man. This guy was up for every job in the country when he took the Nebraska job. He had his pick. He had his, Florida wanted him. A lot of teams wanted him. And then he's like, yeah, I learned immediate advice. Don't take the wrong job. I didn't want to leave UCF, but I did. And I said I would if I could win a national. I mean, just I don't know. I have an issue kind of stomaching all the things he said, basically. Basically acted like he was just took – they took him kicking and screaming to sign that big guaranteed contract at Nebraska to do nothing with.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, too. And I'm not going to get too far off in the weeds, but no matter how you feel about the actual activities that have happened with him, his face just looks like he's unhappy. You know what I mean? Like, you just look at him, you're like, God, he just seems like he's in a bad place. So, yeah, I'm with you. When you hear his words, you're like, all right, dude. Like, you went to Nebraska. That was where you wanted to be. That was where you played. It didn't work out, and now you're back at UCF. And yeah, I think he's in the right place now.
And Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yorkmark is doubling down on the 5-11 college playoff format.
Yeah, I think this is being pushed by not only the Big 12, but the ACC and – we talked about this during the SEC meetings, that this is one of those things that I think is gaining ground with SEC coaches, but the Big Ten people are still standing firm on wanting to have four automatic qualifiers. But the 5+11, I think, just if you're going to go to 16, which they obviously are, it just makes more sense, given how everything's kind of shaped up in the college football landscape. I just want things to stop changing. I just want things to stop changing.
Well,
just 1 year.
That's where we need to get to. If you're kind of unfamiliar with the 5-11, it is basically five highest rated conference champions, 11 at large bids that are put in by the committee. I would rather see this system. I don't want it where there's eight teams from two conferences and everything, and then the other eight teams is kind of out there. I think this is, because look, it's going to be that way anyways. I don't want locked in bids though. I think if the SEC is really strong like they were in basketball this year and football, then put those teams in. You know, I just don't want it to be, I don't want teams locked in other than conference champs.
Well, and we all know that the Falcons are going to Germany, but does Germany realize that means Bo Morgan is coming along?
Hey-o. This is going to be so good. This is going to be so good. Yes.
We are getting so close to football season. We are running out of time to prepare the Germans for Bo Morgan's arrival. So we have another round of tweets from Bo translated to German. We're going to play those for you. I will give you the straight read of them, and then Mike will interpret how they're actually supposed to be delivered. Okay?
All right.
Dylan, let's go with number one.
Dem Aktionscode Squeed erhalten Sie 15% Rabatt auf Ihre Bestellung unter http://wsoße.com.
Do you have any idea what that was, Bo?
No, but maybe it's something about my meat. I don't know.
Close. Very close. Use promo code SQUID for 15% off your order at WSauce.com.
Use promo code SQUID for 15% off your order at the WSauce.com.
That is one you should really learn so that you can spread the wealth over there so everyone can learn what W Sauce is.
It's so much better listening to them because I know what they say and I'm reading them and listening to her say, V-Sauce.
V-Sauce.
Well, the thing about the German language and the way I talk is we both sound angry no matter what.
This is true. Facts. All right, number two.
Warum geht es nicht? Es geht darum, dass sie nichts verkaufen. Obwohl ihre Verträge es ihnen ermöglichen, konkurrenzfähig zu sein. Akuna, Olsen, Riley, Strider und Osuna, bis zu Hüftproblemen, haben alle gute Leistungen gezeigt.
That's not the point. The point is, they're not selling when the deals they have allow them to compete. Acuna, Olsen, Riley, Strider, Osuna, until hip issue, have all produced.
Yeah. That's not the point. The point is they're not selling when the deals they have allow them to compete. Acuna, Olsen, Riley, Strider, Ozuna, until the hip issue, have all produced.
I don't think you're angry enough there.
I know, but that's not an angry tweet. But I'm getting there.
Yeah, no, I think it was.
I'm building up to
it. I think it was. There, most of them are.
All right, let's go with number three, Dylan.
Die meisten teamfreundlichen Spieler sind kein Problem, sondern die Tiefe. SS, LF, CF und Ozie. Dieses Jahr ist das Problem.
Hold on. There's something along the lines of that's not the problem. The problem is you have holes at shortstop, left field, center field, and second base.
This was kind of an extension of the last tweet. Yeah. Most team-friendly guys aren't issue. It's depth. shortstop, left field, center field, Ozzy, this year, the issue.
Yeah, this year.
Most team-friendly guys, I can't do it. Most team-friendly guys aren't issue, it's depth. Shortstop, left field, center field, Ozzy, this year, the issue. Oh, man, so good, dude. Angry tweets from Bo in German is just the greatest thing ever.
All right, let's go with number four.
Albis hat den teamfreundlichen Vertrag bis zu diesem Jahr wirklich erfüllt. Acuna, Olsen, Riley und Strider, der wieder in Form ist, sind nicht schlecht.
Well, it's definitely something about team-friendly deals with Acuna. I've never heard Acuna's name. Acuna.
I feel like on this one, Mike, we should just go straight to the angry read.
Albies has lived up to the team-friendly deal until really this year. Acuna, Olsen, Riley, Strider, returning to form, don't suck.
They don't. And Olsen is the best player on the team right now, and I don't think it's close.
All right, number five, Dylan.
Greenert ist der Typ, der mir am meisten Angst macht.
This one's, yeah, just
something
change
about
pace.
A green egg?
No, close.
I see why you think
yes.
That. Greenard is the guy that scares me the most.
Yeah. Grenard is the guy that scares me the most.
I wasn't even angry when I tweeted that.
I know, but I gotta go there now. I didn't build up the emotions in my voice. I gotta keep going.
Okay, let's go with number six, Dylan.
Ja, ich glaube, ich habe den Einstieg gefunden. Ich muss nur abends raus. Wie du schon sagtest.
What is this?
I don't know.
What was he talking about?
This one sounds like I might have declared war on somebody. I'm not sure.
Who are you declaring war on right now?
I don't know. Well, Mike.
Okay. Yes, I think I found the entrance. I just got to get out there at night, like you said.
Oh, my yellow jackets.
Yes, yeah. I think I found the entrance. I just got to get out there at night, like you said.
One final angry tweet from Bo.
Mir ist es egal, aber es stört mich, wenn Leute versuchen, falsche Geschichten darüber zu verbreiten. Warum Dinge passiert sind, obwohl sie keine Ahnung haben.
I'm going to yield this one to Mike.
I don't care either way. I do care when people try to push false narratives on why things happened when they have no clue.
That was definitely angry, that one.
Is it any fun for you to hear your tweets read back to you?
Oh, man, I hope it is.
It is in German because it makes it, it just sounds angrier. sometimes because I interact with the people. I interact with the they and the we.
There you go. Yeah. Dylan, do you have that bonus audio on there?
Übrigens, ding.
Do it again.
Übrigens, ding.
Übrigens.
Both of you guessed this one.
Übrigens, ding.
I have no idea.
By the
Übrigens,
way.
Ding.
Ding.
So ding is the same in German.
It's the same. Ding. Sound effect.
Ding.
Dylan, you just got to start playing that ding when we say by the way.
Ding.
Ding.
Yeah,
ding.
See? That's it.
Well, thank you for being a good sport, Bo. Mike, thanks for playing along. Coming up, WWE's Queen of the Ring, Jade Cargill, is coming in to hang out with us for a few before Sunday's Evolution event. We'll talk to Jade next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.